Please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 46 through 50. And our message series is called Mission and Conflict. Today is the last message in the whole series, right? We started this a number of months ago in Matthew chapter 10, and we've worked our way through Matthew chapters 10, 11, and 12. And throughout this series, throughout these chapters, we've seen that mission and conflict, unfortunately, they go together, don't they? Jesus experienced conflict as he went forward in his mission for God. And we've learned that we also can expect conflict when we go forward in mission for Jesus. And as we've studied these chapters, we've seen various examples of conflict arising from mission. But today we come to probably the most painful way that we can experience conflict in our mission for Jesus. And that's when the conflict comes from our own families. And so that's what we want to look at today. What does the Bible have to say about Jesus and mission and conflict and families? How does all of that tie together? So in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, these are mysterious verses. We don't understand them on first reading. We're intrigued. We want to learn more. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to understand, Lord Jesus, what you were saying on that morning or afternoon or evening so long ago, and what that means for us this morning, for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So what does the Bible have to say about Jesus and family, and especially as involves mission and conflict? We know that family was designed by God to be a blessing. But unfortunately, when families don't serve God together, family can create conflict for those who are seeking to follow Jesus. Now, it's hard enough when you face opposition to your faith, when that comes from the outside, right? But the toughest opposition is always that which comes from within. It's been said that the hardest place to live out your Christian life is in your family. And guess what? When your family doesn't believe, it only makes it that much harder. It's one thing to stand up against those who are in direct opposition to you, but it is very challenging to stand firm in your faith when those closest to you, when those whom you love the most, when your own family seeks to pull you away from Jesus. Now, Jesus himself experienced this conflict between mission and family. In our passage today, as we'll see, Jesus was in the middle of teaching a group of people when his family arrived. Now, Matthew just tells us that they wanted to speak to him. But when you compare Gospels and you go to the Gospel of Mark, we learn the rest of the story. Mark tells us that his family was there. Why? Because they thought he was out of his mind. And they'd come to take charge of him. They'd come to take him away from his ministry, to take him home. And so here Jesus has a choice to make. He has to choose between his mission and his family. You might wonder, like, well, how do you even make a choice like that, right? Well, that's what we want to learn today as we study this passage together. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out and follow along in the various points and scriptures we'll be looking at this morning. But we're going to begin by talking about your physical family here on earth, because that's where the passage begins, doesn't it? The passage begins by drawing our attention to Jesus' physical family, his mother and his brothers who've come to speak with him. So let's get started now. We're Matthew 12, verses 46 and 47. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Now, most people know that Jesus had a physical mother, Mary, right? But many are surprised to learn that Jesus had siblings as well. In fact, there are several passages in the Gospels which speak about Jesus' brothers and his sisters. Jesus had both brothers and sisters. Some people try to explain these passages as saying, well, maybe those were just Jesus' cousins. Or some people say, well, maybe Joseph was married previously, and these are children from a previous marriage. But that's really not what the Scripture says here. The most natural reading and explanation is simply that Joseph and Mary had children of their own after Jesus was born. So that, of course, that would make these siblings half-brothers and half-sisters, because Jesus had no earthly father. And so Jesus had a physical family here on earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. She was his mother. Joseph was his adopted father. And Jesus grew up with younger brothers and sisters in the family. Isn't that neat to think of that? Jesus growing up in a family. The Bible speaks everywhere of the importance of family. God created the family as the basic unit of society, and the family precedes and undergirds all other institutions in society. It's that important. In fact, we can go straight to the creation account in Scripture and to the Ten Commandments, two of the most important sections of Scripture, right? We go straight to the creation account and the Ten Commandments to see the importance of family in the Bible. For example, if we go to the creation account, we read this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Here, the marriage relationship is revealed as the most important relationship on earth. It is a physical relationship so close that husband and wife can be called one flesh. Or we could jump forward to the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. Fifth commandment says what? Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your mother and father. Ten Commandments establishes the importance of the parent-child relationship. Now, the Bible not only speaks about the importance of family, it also speaks about the responsibilities that you have to your family. Because the family is primary, we all have unique responsibilities and commitments to our physical family here on earth. Let me give you an example. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He says this to them. He says, but you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might have received from me or might otherwise have received from me, that's a gift devoted to God. When you say that, he says to the Pharisees, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God. What's going on here? Well, the Pharisees were teaching that it was okay to neglect your parents as long as you gave that money to the temple. And Jesus says, no, 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 that is not okay. And he condemned this practice. He said, rather than pleasing God, if you do that, you're actually nullifying the word of God, which tells you to honor your father and mother. Or we read the following admonition. This comes from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. This is in 1 Timothy 5:8. Paul writes, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, that person has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, Paul's writing this particular instruction in the context of taking care of widows in the church, but the general principle here applies all over to all of our family relationships here on earth. You've got to take care of your family. And so the Bible is very clear about the importance of family and your responsibilities to your physical family here on earth. And yet, when someone tells Jesus that his mother and brothers are outside, they're waiting for him, what happens? Instead of dropping everything he was doing, instead of running outside to greet his family, Jesus responds here by distancing himself from his family. We go, well, what's that all about? Why would Jesus do that? Let's take a look at it. Matthew 12:48. Jesus replied to this person, told him, Mom and Dad, your mom and your brothers are outside. He replied to him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? I'm sure the person said, well, they're like right outside. I can see them from here. That's who they are. But Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And by asking this question, Jesus is doing what? He's drawing attention to the conflict that can arise between family and mission. Jesus is doing what right now? He is teaching. He's teaching the Word of God. He's preaching the gospel. He is on mission. And he refuses to be interrupted because the mission comes first. Yes, his family has a claim on him as family, but God and the gospel have the greater claim. Now, this, of course, raises a question for us. As a Christian, how does your family relate to your mission? How does your family relate to your mission as a Christian? We've learned as Christians, we're all on mission for God, right? That's the definition of a Christian. I'm on mission for God. I'm following Jesus. I'm sharing the gospel with other people. How does your family relate to your mission? And as important as family is, the Bible makes it very clear, Jesus comes first. Jesus must come first. Now, this isn't the first time in our series. In these chapters, Matthew 10 through 12, it's not the first time that this subject of conflict with family has come up. For example, we read about family and conflict earlier in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus said this, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, why did Jesus pull out the family relationships here? Because we already saw the importance of family from the creation account and the Ten Commandments, that your physical family here on earth is of primary importance. But Jesus still comes first. And so, yes, you must love your husband or wife. You must love your father and mother and sons and daughters, but Jesus comes first. And Jesus says, anyone who loves their family more than him is not worthy of him. Jesus told his disciples this in Mark chapter 10. He said, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, Jesus is not advocating abandoning your family in these verses, okay? That's not what he's saying here. We've already seen you have a responsibility, biblically, scripturally, you have a responsibility to your family. What he is talking about here is priorities. Priorities. He's not talking about leaving your family for selfish reasons. No, he talks here about those who leave family for whatever reason, who had to leave their family. Jesus says what? For me and the gospel. That's why these people left. For me and the gospel. In other words, those who have left family for Jesus and for the mission. So yes, your family is important. But when it comes to family and conflict, Jesus and the mission come first. Now, this next part is so important for us to grasp and understand so we balance all of Scripture together here. Understand this, part of your mission, okay? Part of being on mission for Christ is ministering to your family. In fact, in many ways, your family is your most important mission. For example, we read Paul's instructions to husbands and wives in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We read these instructions to children and parents in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, part of serving Christ is serving your family. Family and ministry are not supposed to be in competition with each other. Jesus comes first, and part of putting Jesus first means ministering to your family. But part of putting Jesus first also means you can never let your family become more important to you than Jesus. So what do you do if your family asks you, pressures you to stop following Jesus? What do you do if your family asks you to do something that would be displeasing to Jesus? What do you do if they don't want you to spend time reading your Bible anymore, being involved in church and ministry? So what do? You love them. You serve them. You pray for them. But you also make it clear that Jesus and the gospel come first. And then, very important, and then you show them by your actions that following Jesus actually makes you a better husband, wife, mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter. You see, the good news is that Jesus and family do not have to be in conflict. And part of putting Jesus first is ministering to your family. And now finally, in this third section here, Jesus points us beyond our physical families here on earth. He points us beyond our physical families now to the family of God. So we're back to Matthew 12 now. Look at verses 49 and 50. Pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." If your physical family here on earth rejects you because of your faith in Jesus, praise God, you have another family. And you can take comfort and refuge in the family of God. Notice Jesus says here, whoever, in other words, this family, it's open to all. It's open to everyone who will come. But notice Jesus also says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. So yes, this family is open to all who will come, but it is also restricted to a certain set of people, to those who will choose to do God's will. Jesus, first of all, he points to his disciples and says, this is my family, this is my mother and brothers. But then he extends this family principle to a much larger group, to everyone who does the will of his Father. We'll talk about what that means in just a minute, to do the will of Jesus' Father. But first of all, I want you to notice something else here. Notice that Jesus calls those who do God's will, he calls them his mother and sister and brother, but he does not call them his father. He does not call them his father. Jesus has many brothers and sisters and mothers in the family of God. But Jesus only has one father. And that's because Jesus stands in a unique relationship with God the Father. Jesus is the eldest brother of all believers, but he is the one and only divine Son of God. So Jesus said here, now let's get to this phrase now, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So what is this? What is the will of Jesus' Father in heaven? It is simply this. The will of Jesus' Father in heaven is that you believe in Jesus, his Son. That's it. What does it mean to do God's will? It means you repent of your sin, you put your faith in Jesus as Savior, and then you follow Jesus and seek to serve him with your life. What Jesus is doing here in these verses, Jesus redefines the family around himself. Yes, we all have a physical family here on earth, but there's an even more important family that we can belong to, and that is the family of God. Jesus said something very similar in the Gospel of Luke. We read in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Now, was Jesus' mother blessed to be the mother of Jesus? Was Mary blessed to be the mother of Jesus? Absolutely. What an amazing blessing that must have been. But Jesus says there's an even greater blessing for those who hear God's word and obey it. That is, those who believe the good news about Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins, who believe the good news of Jesus and become a part of the family of God. You see, being a part of God's family has nothing to do with your physical birth. It has everything to do with your faith in Jesus and obedience to God's word. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family." And so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Once again, Jesus redefines the family around himself. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Isn't that beautiful? He's proud to call you and me brothers and sisters. He welcomes us into his family when we put our faith in him. And so both the one who makes men holy, that's Jesus, and those who are made holy, that's us. We're all part of the same family. Jesus' supreme passion is to make you holy. And your supreme passion should be to follow Jesus. Now, everything we learned earlier, okay, about the importance of your physical family, it's still true. Loving your family, taking care of your family, that's all part of following Jesus. It's part of hearing the word of God and obeying it. It's part of doing the will of God in your life. But this is so important. Your spiritual ties in the family of God are still more important than the blood ties of your physical family here on earth. Blood is thicker than water, but the spirit is thicker than blood. Your physical family is for this life only, but your spiritual family is for all of eternity. Doing the will of God means believing in Jesus, following Jesus. When you do that, you become a part of the family of God because Jesus redefines the family around himself. And so as Christians, as believers, each of us, we need to find our place in the family of God. Once you've put your faith in Jesus, you no longer belong to this world. Now you belong to God. For example, we read in Ephesians 2, 19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. You are fellow citizens with God's people. You are members of God's household." Or we read in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And so, yes, we're supposed to do good to everyone. We're supposed to do good to all, including our families. Whether they're believers or not, do good to all. But Paul says we have a special relationship with the family of believers. If you're a Christian today, you're a part of the family of God. Church is a family, and therefore we should function as a family. That means church should be a place that is full of love and forgiveness and acceptance. Church is a place where every believer belongs, where every person has a place, where each member has a purpose or role to play. Church is really a microcosm of the family of God in heaven. You know that song we sing every communion Sunday here in church? If you've been coming any length of time, you probably recognize that. Let me read the words to you. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, and the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." So once again, as important as your physical family is here on earth, the family of God is even more important Because Jesus redefines the family around himself. And part of following Jesus means finding your place in the family of God. People, there's nothing in this world, nothing in this world more important than your family, except for Jesus and the gospel. Now, we can also say this, there is nothing more important for your family than Jesus and the gospel. You may experience conflict in your family because of your faith in Jesus, but guess what? You won't be doing your family any favors by choosing them over Jesus when the conflict comes. You'll be doing more harm than good. Jesus comes first. Family is important, but Jesus is more important. And we need to learn how to serve our families well while never allowing family to come before Jesus and the gospel. We need to grow in our faith so that we may be loving servants of our families and faithful followers of Jesus Christ. My wife, Rosie, she's the love of my life. And our three boys, they're my pride and joy. But Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And as much as I love my family, and I do, my first loyalty is to Jesus and the gospel. And that's the way it needs to be for all of us. Amen? Let's pray. Well, dear Lord, as we finish this whole section of Scripture, Matthew chapters 10 through 12, as we've been studying mission and conflict, boy, Lord, it really hits close to home in this passage. Lord, I know there are people here today, they're living this. They're trying to live for you, Jesus. They're trying to be faithful to you, and their family, instead of being an encouragement to them, is discouraging them and trying to hold them back and pull them away. And Lord, I pray that these verses we've looked at today, these truths we've looked at from Scripture, I pray would be such an encouragement and help to them today. To be loving and faithful to their families, but to be faithful to you, Lord. And Lord, help us to find that balance where we can serve our families and be faithful to you. And Lord, where we can overcome the conflict, and where we can be true to you and to your gospel and the mission to which you have called us. Help us with these things, Lord. We can't do them on our own, but we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.